everybody. We're going to have some great time for refreshments and chatting later. So can I encourage you to hold that thought and resume the conversation in around about half an hour or so when I'm finished. My name's Ben. I'm one of the leaders here along with, who was it again? Andrew and Matt. Great. I wonder who can identify this film. Independence Day, yes. Independence Day, the day that aliens chose to take over the planet. Of course, in that great film, Will Smith saves the day and humanity lives on. But Independence Day, the actual day, is obviously a great day for Americans to celebrate their freedom from us British oppressors. And here is another great image, I hope. Maybe it's not. So it's all right. We'll see if we can. There we go. Right. Okay. Who's this? Mr. Farage. And you remember what he said after the Brexit vote? This day, June the 23rd, should be the British Independence Day holiday. However much you may agree or disagree with Farage, or like or dislike him, this concept of being some kind of having a level of independence, getting out from under the oppressor and standing on your own two feet is something that is appealing, isn't it? And independence, financial independence, for example, is something that we value and lift up in our society. As I say, standing on your own two feet is surely something that everyone wants to do. But is independence all that it's cracked up to be? See, being independent, standing on your own, not needing other people, isn't actually that helpful. It turns out that one of the major predictors of how long you live is not so much how healthily you eat, but how strong your social ties are. Of course, eating healthily is also good. But how dependent you are on others, how integrated you are into your social network is a major indicator of how long you live. What's more, whilst it can be kind of fun to do things by yourself, loneliness is a major problem in our society. And we see this particularly among the elderly, but it affects all stages of life, doesn't it? Students going away to university can struggle until they find that network of friendships to be independent with. We aren't built to be independent people. But on the other hand, dependency can be deeply unhealthy too, can't it? As we depend on others, we expose ourselves to that possibility of being exploited or abused. Dependency on others can give them power, and power can be exploited. So we can't be independent? It's not good for us. We can't be dependent. It's dangerous. Should we just try some medium place and crack on, keep people at just the right distance to meet our needs, but no closer? Do we compromise and muddle through, or is there some other way? Is there another way to live, to depend, to love with greater satisfaction and joy? Well, today we're going to be looking for some answers to those questions from part of what Jesus said to his closest friends, to his disciples. I'm going to be reading from John 15, for those of you with Bibles. It's John's account of Jesus' life. Chapter 15, it's just before Jesus is arrested and crucified. There's quite a long section of which we're taking a part, where he's talking to his disciples. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we ask that you'd speak to us today. We need your help. We are not people with answers. You are a God with everything, though. And so we need you to fill us. We need you to show us the way. Lord God, please help us this morning. Amen. Here's John's account of Jesus' life. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch he does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is quite an amazing passage. A couple of weeks ago, Andrew was talking about how Jesus doesn't always talk in straight lines, and this is definitely one of those. Jesus here is painting a picture of the relationship between his disciples, himself, and his Father, and he uses an image of a vine to do it. Here's a vine, beautiful, fruitful, lots of very rich branches there, right in season. And obviously when the vine has fruited and the end of the season comes, it's pruned. And that's what a pruned vine is like. All of a sudden the branches look a whole lot shorter, don't they? I'm going to try and just pick out a few of the threads of this to help us to understand this passage. So hold that image of the vine in your mind. So I'm going to put up a little diagram now with all of the stuff drawn up. Don't be overwhelmed. We'll go through it bit by bit. But just to try and get this picture painted out visually in our minds. Okay, so we have Jesus, the vine. Jesus is the vine. He's the source of our life. He's the root. He's the main thing, the big thing. We are the branches. And we bear fruit. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And we bear fruit. And if we bear fruit, we're pruned. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm just going to throw this out there. It's not the main point of the message. But sometimes we can feel like, if we feel like we're being cut back and we're being pruned, surely something is wrong with us. It's not always that something is wrong. Sometimes it's just that God wants us to be more fruitful in the future. I'll just put that out there. We're pruned by the Father, he says. The word prune can also mean purify. And at the start of the passage, Jesus said that you've been cleaned by my message. That word cleaned is another similar word to prune. So we've got Jesus and the Father pruning us. We're remaining in Jesus. Because as we remain in him, he will remain in us. And we produce fruit. And as we produce much fruit, glory goes back to the Father. As we produce much fruit, our joy is made complete. And Jesus goes on and talks more and more. I couldn't fit it all on there, I'm afraid. The Father has loved me, he says, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. There's this relationship between us and Jesus that mirrors the relationship between him and his Father, because he and his Father love one another. They remain in one another, just as Jesus remains in us and we remain in him. He says, we're not slaves and servants anymore, we're friends of God. When he uses the phrase friends of God, this calls back to some of the great heroes of the biblical history. We're talking about Abraham and Moses, who were called friends of God. So when he's talking about friends of God, it's not so much your busy mates. It's more you're in this privileged position of being a friend of God now. He talks about being chosen. I chose you to produce lasting fruit, and the Father will give you whatever you ask for. He talks also about not remaining in me and then being fruitless and being thrown away and burned. But he says that as this relationship holds together, as this whole thing holds together, he says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. As we love him, we follow him. As we remain in him, we may ask for anything we want and it will be granted. So there's this not only remaining and loving going on, but there's also action in there. We're doing what God commands us to do, and he is also granting our requests. It's an amazing description of this all-encompassing, loving, close relationship between Father and Jesus and us. It's not some kind of romantic love that Jesus is talking about here, but it's not an arm's length friendship either. It's this deep entanglement. We're right in with Jesus. He's remaining in us. We are in him and he is in us. However, as much as we are in this, well, I'll get to that in a minute. What kind of understanding of love do we have? We need to understand this love and this grace and this love that comes from God. Whilst it's reciprocal, it isn't dependent on us. The grace of God, the fact that God has chosen to love us, Jesus says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. So as we're entering into this relationship, if we want to enter into this relationship, it's not because we've done something. It's not because we've been obedient that we've entered into this relationship. It's because Jesus has chosen us. So the loving, being loved by God, it is not conditional. But to really enjoy this love, to really get into this love, to experience this love to its full, love isn't a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. So as we receive the love of God, so we also enjoy the love of God by worshiping him, by following him, by obeying his commandments. There is a certain amount of enjoyment of God simply by sitting back and saying, God, you love me, and I love that you love me. But there's also an enjoyment of this love, of this relationship that's going on, that is by doing and following and worshipping and putting in. There's a saying, you only get out what you put in. That's definitely not true with God. No way. That is not true in this relationship. But you don't fully enjoy the relationship. That's what Jesus is saying. As you obey my commandments, so you love me. It relies on understanding this is, however, not an equal relationship. Yes, it's reciprocal. Yes, we're involved in it. But it's not equal. It's not like it's us and God side by side. See, the ego of humanity, we constantly drive, don't we, for one day I'm going to be great. One day I'm going to be equal to God. Perhaps we might think, if I'm as humble as Jesus was, one day I'll be recognized and glorified as Jesus is. This is not the promise that Jesus gives us. It's not the promise we find anywhere in the Bible. It would be like the earth saying to the sun, I'm going to be like you, to this giver of life and warmth, to this thing made of something entirely different. It would be like the earth saying to the sun, I'm going to be like you. No, it's not like that. We're not going to be exactly the same as God. But we do enjoy this relationship. We do join in with this relationship with God. And we do get to know this amazing God. Our Father, one thing that's extraordinary about this relationship, because even though it's not equal, even though God is far and high above us, he's still chosen to depend on us. He's still chosen to depend on us to bear fruit. As God has chosen to depend on us to bear fruit, so we can see how we should be dependent. This models us how we should be. He's chosen not to bear fruit directly. He could do it. He could do whatever he chooses. But God has chosen to involve us. And this sends us a signal, doesn't it? To be truly godly, to be like God, to be like Jesus, we choose to turn down independence. Even when we know that we could have it. We may be very capable as individual people. We may be very capable as family units. But to create a Jesus-like and Jesus-centered community, we choose not to make ourselves the be-all and end-all. We choose to depend on God and one another. So how do we answer the question, then, on meeting our need to be dependent on others and have them dependent on us in a healthy way? Well, to be in these relationships, we start with this one. We start with the one who loves most deeply and most perfectly. We immerse ourselves in Jesus. We start here by remaining in Jesus, whether that's through spending time with him in prayer and worship. But we also do this by obeying his commands, by loving one another. We're not loving one another first and foremost, though, to meet our own needs. No, we're loving one another, not even first and foremost, to meet others' needs. We're loving one another out of a desire to know Jesus more. Because as we love one another, so we enjoy his love more. The recorder of Jesus' words that we've been looking at today, John, he also wrote a few letters to the churches, and one of these helps us to understand a bit more of what Jesus said in this passage that we just read. So I'm going to reread the second half of Jesus' words, and then I'm going to move in to John's further explanation. Here we go. This is what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And this is my command: love each other. And here are John's words as he expands on this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. We don't need to worry. If we're not feeling good about ourselves, we know that God is greater than that, and he knows everything. Dear hearts, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him everything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Some of that can cut a little bit, I think. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. How can we love like this? Well, for that, I think I'd like to turn to how I've seen this happen in Grace Church. In Grace Church, we see love blossoming out. I've seen it time and time again over the last years, many years. Whether it's love and support and practical care for those with new babies, those facing sickness, bereavement, whether it's helping a single mum move house, whether it's to help provide for those who don't have finding it difficult to get clothes for their kids, fixing things for other people. I've seen that happen in a practical way. We see anonymous donations to people in need going through the church books. They'll come in from one person and go out to another because they want to support people who are having a financially tough time. It's beautiful to see these things. It really is. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about here, to love one another. And there's emotional and spiritual support that goes for each other through all kinds of difficult times. As we love one another and we give time to each other. And many people in this church are generous with love in many other ways as well, reaching out to those who need help outside the church family. This happens not only as opportunity arises, but also as we serve through other churches' initiatives like the food bank and debt advice, or through our own job club, providing support to the long-term unemployed and teaching and coaching and supporting people back into work. These are all practical ways in which we can enter into this relationship with Jesus of loving one another and sharing love. So I'm not speaking to a church community here that is devoid of love, okay? I'm not coming here and beating Grace Church saying, come on. But I am saying, let's egg each other on. Let's urge one another to do more. You see, this loving one another selflessly, this is an act of worship to God. It brings him glory, and this completes our joy. You might consider this loving in actions as altruism, doing good primarily for others. It isn't just that, though. It's not just altruistic. Some people have described this as almost hedonistic, searching for pleasure, but with a bigger view on life. See, rather than looking for good food or legal or illegal drugs or sex or amazing experiences to provide us with satisfaction, we trust the greatest satisfaction comes from following our glorious and self-sacrificial God into loving each other. And I'd say this, in composing this sermon today, in trying to come to grips with what Jesus is saying here, I found it really, really challenging. See, about 10 years ago, I moved down to Cornwall with Helen and Izzy to help to start Grace Church. And I was doing that out of obedience to God, choosing to follow him. And whilst I do show love for others in some ways, I feel extremely weak in practically providing love and support to others in these kind of practical ways. Yes, I do give time and money to the church. I invest some time in others. And occasionally I find practical ways of helping. And when I do, it's great. But so I do recognize God's changed me, and I know he's changed many of you to some degree. But I'm not sure that I've allowed myself to be as radically changed as Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about a whole mindset where our lives don't revolve around ourselves anymore. Our lives don't revolve around meeting our own needs. Our lives revolve around Jesus, around one another. And so today, I'd like us to commit ourselves again to God. And in doing that, commit ourselves to loving one another, to finding ways to show love and to depend on one another more, to do the godly thing and turn away from independence, inviting in a life of healthy dependency upon God. And from that basis, a life of community dependence on each other, serving each other and receiving service for one another. Sometimes we can be so independent that we don't want help from other people. We're happy to give it out, but we're not so happy to receive it. I'm going to steal a phrase. Let's make September the 2nd, 2018, our Dependence Day. Dependent first on God and then on one another. And we're going to need God's help to make this a reality. Perhaps the band can come up while I pray. Father God, Jesus, you know our hearts. You see right inside our hearts. You know what's going on. And you know how we love to be proud and independent. You know how we love to revolve our lives around ourselves. But we see here, Jesus, we see this beautiful, beautiful possibility of relationship. We thank you, Jesus, for starting that. We thank you, Jesus, for taking the big first step, the enabling step of reaching out to us, of pouring out your love towards us. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would grow in our hearts that right response, that response of love towards you, and that response of love towards each other. Help us, Jesus, to do this, motivated out of love for you.